Hi, I'm Pastor Kevin.
And I'm Pastor Sherry.
And we want to welcome you to this Grace Christian Center Online. Welcome to our Good Friday service. Why do they call it Good Friday? We understand what happened to Jesus certainly wasn't good. But what is good about it is that he did it for you and for me, for us. We are honored that you're here with us tonight. There's so many places you could be. But tonight, through song and through the scriptures, we're going to take a fresh look at what Jesus has done. And our prayer for you tonight, as you listen, as you engage in the scriptures and in the music, we pray that you really will have a fresh revelation, a fresh insight as to what he's done for you, something quickening your heart. If you're watching and you've never experienced Jesus Christ in a personal relationship, you've never heard this story, this truth about these scriptures and songs about our Lord Jesus, well, it's a night to really sit up and listen. If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's also a night to really sit up and take listen, because it's important, again, to understand in a fresh way that he did this for you. Pastor Sherry, you've got some thoughts to share.
Yes, it is Good Friday. I don't think I've ever been as thoughtful about Good Friday and its intense meaning as I have been this year. Complying with the government has given me the time to ponder and consider. It's been a blessing to me. Usually, I'm buzzing around thinking about the Good Friday community service, the Easter lilies for the church, and shopping and meal preparations for Easter Sunday.
Right.
And, of course, buying peeps.
Indeed, she loves peeps.
But not this week. Not this week. All this week, I've been thinking about the statement that Paul made at the end of his life, as recorded in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. From the Passion Translation, it says, I can testify that the word is true and deserves to be received by all.
Amen.
For Jesus Christ came into the world to bring sinners back to life, even me, the worst sinner of all.
Amen.
So Paul says. And from the NIV, here's a word you can take to heart and depend on. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. I'm proof, public sinner number one.
That's powerful.
And as translated in the Message Bible, this is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all.
Wow.
As I've grown older, like Paul, I've become so much more grateful for what Jesus did for me personally.
Me too.
He took all of my punishment, all the punishment for my sins.
Thank you, Jesus.
Every single sin that I've committed in my lifetime. It breaks my heart when I ponder on that statement. He never committed one of those sins, not one, but he took the punishment for all of my sins.
Wow.
Every sin I committed.
Thank you, Jesus.
He took the punishment for that.
Yep.
Oh, Jesus, I am so grateful.
Me too.
Perfect, precious, you went to Calvary for me. And therefore, I am thankful, I am humbled and grateful that you purchased with your blood total forgiveness for me.
Beautiful.
Tears come to my eyes as I enter into praises to you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, Pastor Sherry, we've been walking with Jesus for coming up to 50 years now, and this is the first time in our lifetimes, we've not been able to be together in a public gathering,
right,
at a church facility.
Right.
But as the church tonight is no different, we still gather in this fashion,
yes,
to give him praise and thanks, because just as tears come to your eyes, they do to mine as well.
Yes,
what he's done, we couldn't be here alive without what Jesus has done.
Amen.
So what a great God. We're gonna sing some songs, and we hope that you'll enter in and sing with us. I think I said before on Sunday morning, we're not professional. But you can try this at home. In fact, we do encourage you to sing along with us at home and enjoy the songs. And we're going to do a couple of newer ones as best as we can. And we're also going to do some of the older ones that are absolutely wonderful to sing and to rejoice with our Lord. So you join with us, if you will, please. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings the chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the King, Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Oh, worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Can't you sing for all that he's done for you tonight? What a great God, what a worthy Lamb of God, King of kings, Lord of lords. You know, it wasn't too long ago, just a few days ago, even in church history, that he came riding in on a donkey and people celebrated him. But all of a sudden tonight, it's different. He went to the cross. He ended up dying for you and for me. What a powerful Lord. How quickly things change. Let's sing a few more songs. Here's one that goes way back. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Oh, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. So found liberty at Calvary. Now
grace to us free. Heart of there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Third verse.
Oh, the love that through salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty hope that God did span on Calvary. Oh, mercy there was granted, grace to us free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
One more time.
Oh, mercy there was granted, grace to us free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I will cling to the old rugged cross and I'll exchange for a crown.
Amen, amen, amen. Some beautiful and classic songs, really, of our faith. They go back a ways, but they're worthy of our singing over and over again, especially on a night like tonight. Here's one that some of you might know that's a little newer. It goes like this. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that
dear, my King would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do.
My life, my For you. We love you so much. You embraced and were impaled upon this cross of wood in order to take our sins forever. Lord, we are so thankful for you. We love you so much that when it came time to die, you said, "It is I." And you took our sins upon yourself on the cross. Thank you, Lord. You may not know this song, but it's a pretty simple one. It goes like this. He bore my cross. He bore my cross. Then one had to die. Jesus said, "It is I."
You.
Lord, we're so grateful that you bore our cross. You know, in this hour, we're only seeing those with essential services be open in this coronavirus time. Now, we believe, of course, the church provides an essential service, and that's why we're here. That's why you're there. That's why we're here, to bring the good news of Jesus. No matter what the circumstance, Paul wrote letters. Even when he was bound up in prison, he brought jailers and guards to him. He wanted to be out and about, I'm sure, bringing crowds of people to Jesus. But he was tucked away in a time, and he wrote, because of that being tucked away, most of the New Testament for us. But essential services. Tonight, we're going to take a look about all the essential services of Jesus, what he did for you and for me. Tonight, listen for yourself. I want to talk about, for a few moments, Jesus's illegal arrest. And then we're going to take a look. Some of you have heard these things before. The message remains true, the great old story of Jesus and his love. But Jesus' illegal arrests, and then six illegal trials that he went through. He had prayed in Gethsemane. He'd come in on Palm Sunday and everybody cheered for him. But by Gethsemane, he was in pouring out his soul, his heart before his Father God. And his disciples went to sleep, and ultimately he was alone. But he then concluded, "Oh God, not my will, but yours be done." A little later, Judas, who had walked with him for 3.5 years, who had agreed to betray the Lord Jesus with a kiss, to mark him, came to the Garden of Gethsemane with a multitude of soldiers, possibly up to 600 soldiers, to arrest one man. And he walks up and betrays him with a kiss. An act of a friend? I don't think so. John 18, 3 through 5. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops, I'm reading from the New King James Bible, and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" He moved right toward them, forward toward them. And that's how he moves to you and me tonight, today, every day. In this time of grief, with people being ill, many people dying, Jesus moves toward you. If you feel that kind of grief and pain, we feel that with you, but especially our Lord wants you to know he's here for you. And he took your shame, your pain upon himself. Possibly up to 600 soldiers and temple guards. And then we see a scuffle that ensues. In fact, it was a pretty powerful scuffle, because Peter, I love Peter, his boisterous nature, he had declared he would never deny the Lord. He rises up, takes a sword, and cuts off one of the temple servant's ears, and or a servant of the high priest's ear. And Jesus reaches out, picks up the ear, and heals that man. And right in front of that person, in front of all those people, Jesus brought healing. His disciples flee, and Jesus is left alone. Now we come to Jesus' six illegal trials. Palestine is ruled by Rome. Tiberius is Caesar, and he rules with an iron fist. He's sadistic. He's an anti-Semitic Gentile. Pilate is the same. And the context is this. Under Roman captivity, Palestine, or the Jews, could never carry out capital punishment. If they could, they would have stoned Jesus. That was their form of capital punishment. But under Roman authority, in this brief period of history, a very wicked and horrific form of capital punishment was underway, and it was crucifixion. The Jews could try a man, but they couldn't execute a man on capital crimes. They got to carry their accusation to Pilate, to the Romans, to the Roman authority, and only if he says so can a death occur. That's why, by the way, the Jews find Jesus guilty of blasphemy, but by the time they get to Pilate and the Romans, they change that to a charge of treason. Because in Rome, a charge of treason was instantly punishable by death. Six illegal trials, three Jewish, 3 Roman. The first trial is before Annas. They bring him before Annas, John 18, verse 13. Annas was the former high priest. He wasn't even the current high priest, but he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the current high priest. Now, remember, when Jesus drives the money changers out of the temple, and he did it a couple of times, this burned Annas. Ananias was the high priest, basically in charge of very corrupt and controlled guy. And he was in charge of the temple tax. You had to turn your money into temple money to be able to buy an animal to commit the sacrifice. And he was in charge of the temple animals that would be sold so you could go do your sacrifice. He was full of corruption and getting a lot of money by this. But Jesus touched him right where it counted. You know, Jesus knows exactly how to touch each of us right where it counts, doesn't he? But he did that with Annas, and Annas wanted to get Jesus in the worst way possible. He passed on his position to his son-in-law, Caiaphas, and Caiaphas was basically a puppet. Now, Annas has Jesus right where he wants him. But Annas isn't on the council. Jesus isn't supposed to be required by Jewish law there to give an answer, but they kept requiring answers from Jesus. The accused could remain mute through the whole thing from beginning to end, but they forced answers out of Jesus. He probes Jesus and his teaching, and he says in John 18, 21, Jesus finally says, why do you ask me? Ask those who've heard me and what I said to them. They can tell you. And Jesus is hit then by one of the guards or an officer, but illegally, because brutality was never allowed in the court. The second trial was before Caiaphas, the son-in-law. Mark 14:53 says, they led Jesus away to the high priest. The current high priest was Caiaphas. And with him were assembled all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. Caiaphas's gathering is about 3:30 in the morning. It's illegal. It's not in the court or council chambers as it's supposed to be. It's in his house. Verse 56 of Mark 14 says, for many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies didn't agree. Now, Caiaphas is under pressure. He's got to get Jesus to Pilate so his life can be taken, because his dad-in-law is saying this man is going to be killed. But there weren't even credible witnesses. Caiaphas asks him, are you the Christ? Jesus says, I am. Mark 16, 62 and 63. Then the high priest tears his clothes and said, what further need do we have of witnesses? According to Levitical law and in Leviticus, a high priest or priest wasn't supposed to tear his garments. They take a voice vote. Again, totally wrong. They all condemn it. Then they spit on Jesus. They cover his face. They beat him with their fists and mock him. Now, the third trial goes before the Sanhedrin. That's the Supreme Court of the Jews, if you will, because so far he's battered, but he doesn't have an official verdict. Nothing's official until the Sanhedrin says it so. Luke 22, now we're about 6 o'clock in the morning, and the Supreme Court is going to take his case up. Luke 22, 70 and 71, they all said, are you then the Son of God? So he said, you rightly say that I am. They say, what further testimony do we need? We've heard it ourselves from his own mouth. The shortest trial was the one before Sanhedrin. When the Sanhedrin passes the final judgment that he's guilty, Jesus is destined for the cross. They vote, take him to Pilate. They accuse Jesus again of treason now before the Romans. He's guilty, they say, of attempting to overthrow the government. And now begins the Roman trials. Fourth trial is to Pilate. In the Roman trials. It's probably about 6:30 to 7 o'clock in the morning now. John 18, 37 and 38 record these words. Pilate says to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you rightly say that I am a king. Luke 23, 4 and 5. So Pilate then goes out and says to the chief priests and the crowd, I find no fault in this man. But they were the more fierce, saying he stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee unto this place. Pilate finds no fault. He's not guilty of treason. He's blameless, just like the Passover lamb is supposed to be. Pilate hears that he's from Galilee, so he with glee sends Jesus to Herod. Fifth trial before Herod. Now Herod beheaded John the Baptist. Herod sees Jesus as a magician. He wants to see Jesus do a trick, do a miracle. And Jesus doesn't respond to Herod.
So Luke 23:11 tells us, Herod with his men of war treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him with a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. Sixth trial, back to Pilate. Pilate tries to get out of committing a verdict. He offers to chastise and beat Jesus and release him. And the crowd demands no. The crowd demands to crucify him. But the crowd had just cheered him. Crowds can be fickle. Pilate offers to release somebody to them. He'll release Jesus to them. It's their custom at the Passover. And they say, no, we want Pilate. Pilate is a double felon, a murderer, an insurrectionist, in prison, waiting death by his own crucifixion. But the crowd chooses him, not Jesus. Isn't it interesting that even if people, even if you say, oh, well, he's a good man, a good teacher, a prophet, but oh, I don't think he's the Son of God. Is that how you teach and treat, rather, a good man, a prophet? Is that how he's to be treated? But that's how Jesus was treated. Soldiers strip Jesus of his garment, put a scarlet robe on him, slam a crown of thorns into his head. And those are literally 3-inch spikes, the kind of thorns they used. Put a reed in his right hand. They mock him, bowing down and saying, Hail, King of the Jews. They spit on him and they beat him and they lead him away to be crucified. Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, you refer back to the Old Testament, Exodus 12, the Passover lamb was to be inspected thoroughly, pronounced clean, then killed, and the blood sprinkled from that lamb on the doorposts, on the mantle, if you will, of the door, and the death angel would pass over. Now, if you recall, John the Baptist looked at Jesus and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's thoroughly examined and three times pronounced clean. I find no fault in him. His blood is shed to wash us from our sins. You see, the Bible says sins separate us from God. But only the blood of Jesus can wash us clean and restore us to Father God. Jesus is scourged. That's literally being whipped with leather thongs and strands, with bone or rock or metal in the end, and it literally rips the flesh off of his back. The Passion of the Christ as a movie got the closest to it, but it's not even yet what Jesus went through for us, for you, for me. He's again slapped, spat upon, and mocked and tossed from leader to leader, now made to carry his cross as long as he can. He's laid on a wooden beam and spikes are literally driven into his wrists and into his feet. In crucifixion, you try to put your weight on your feet, but it won't work. You can't stand that pain, and so you pull up on your wrists and you can't take that pain. And you go back and forth, and basically the one crucified suffocates. And this punishment was only reserved for the worst of the worst criminals. But Jesus took that punishment for you and for me. Pastor Sherry and I both agreed with the scriptures tonight as you heard her read them. We're the worst of the worst. We feel right along with Paul. But thank God Jesus went through this for us. 23 of Luke, 33 through 34. When they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand, the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And he releases forgiveness for you and for me. A spear is thrust into his side, and out come water and blood. The sack around the heart, filled with water, spills out. Literally, Jesus dies of a broken heart. And then he cries out, It is finished. And he dies. He took the punishment sin deserves. You don't have to try to take your own punishment. You can't. You can't ever make yourself good enough. Sin brings death. But with the shedding of blood, there's remission of sins. Not your blood, not mine, but Jesus is blood. Joseph, a good man, a counselor, he comes and begs the body of Jesus from Pilate, and Pilate's surprised that he's already dead, but he gives him permission to take the body of Jesus, and lovingly he wraps it in linen and lays it in a tomb. They'd overheard that Jesus had said he would be raised up in 3 days. So Pilate allows guards to be posted at the tomb, and they roll a huge stone over it. The tomb is secured, sealed, and watched by guards. The book of Romans in chapter 5 has these incredible verses. Please listen. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. John 3:16, for God so loved you, me, the world, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, you will have life forever. We live life here, but death is appointed unto each person, and it will come at times we don't know. But death is only a change, a quick change in the twinkling of an eye. When you know Jesus, you go right into his presence. Wouldn't you love to know where you will spend eternity and see your loved ones again who have gone on before you, who have given their lives to Jesus? The beauty is, that's not all the story. There's more to the story. Sunday morning's coming. Resurrection's coming. The power of Jesus splitting the grave, the stone being rolled away, angels testifying that he's not here in this tomb, he's risen. And it's a true historical fact that it is true. And you can know that it's true for you. If you're here tonight and you've not given your life to Jesus, we're going to pray and give you opportunity to give your life to him. If you have given your life to the Lord, I don't care how long ago, you cannot fail to be moved by the reality of what Jesus has done. We'll be here Sunday morning at 10 o'clock on Facebook Live to tell you the rest of the story about resurrection, his rising from the dead. But I'm here tonight, we're here tonight to tell you that Jesus did all of this for you and for me. Let's pray. Lord, tonight we are so full of gratitude and thanksgiving for who you are, Jesus, for all that you've done. We pray, oh God, that you will be glorified even in this time in our own nation, around the world. You've got everybody's attention, Lord, but life here isn't all there is. There's life forever in you. And we surrender to you, Lord. We surrender our lives to you. Now, if you have not yet given your life to Jesus, I urge you to pray with me. Just follow me in prayer. Lord Jesus, I believe you've done this for me, and I give you thanks. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Lord, that you died, you were buried, and you rose again. Now come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Save me. I turn away from my sins. Forgive me. And right now, by faith, I receive your forgiveness. I love you, Lord, because you first loved me. We're going to finish with a song. It goes like this. God loves people more than anything. God loves people more than anything. Oh, God loves people more than anything. More than anything. He wants you to know. He'd rather die than let you go. God loves people more than anything. Oh,
know that God loves me more than anything. More than anything, He wants us to go. Show the world so they will know.
Lord, we give you the praise and the thanks that that is true. Jesus loves you so much. I pray you have an incredible weekend with your family, celebrating what he's done tonight, but especially looking forward to Sunday morning, resurrection. He rose again from the dead. He died, was buried, and rose again from the dead for you and for me. Let's celebrate him together again. Facebook Live on GCC Portland, though. Right here, 10 o'clock Sunday morning. God bless.